We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Now Panarin moves in. He shoots. He scores! He scores! Rangers! Rangers! Rangers win!
I could tell I had to ask Zach to make sure. That was Sam Rosen on the call, right? He's been doing it for so long. He's great.
I love Sam Rosen.
He's great. I don't think I've ever told you. I went to college with his son, Garrett, and we got to know each other really well. And
how old is Sam Rosen?
Yeah, Sam's up there in age, but he's still phenomenal at what he does. He's
74?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so I went to school with his son, Garrett. So I've seen Sam over time for time, you know, in the Sabres press box when he's come to town. I ask how Garrett's doing and all that, so I've kept in contact a little bit here and there every once in a while, just shoot him a message. But anyway, so Joe, back in the old days, I think I might have told you the story in the air, I'm not sure, but they had the Odd had a bucket, a little bucket that the out-of-town guys had to sit in.
Okay.
Hanging over the oranges. Like, you couldn't go, they didn't do it from the press box. There was literally like a walkway and a stair thing. You'd literally have to climb over in a staircase, and the bucket sat kind of like just hanging over the oranges, kind of. It was weird. And they put the play-by-play guy and the color announcer right there. And back then, it was John Davidson was the color analyst for the Rangers. So it was Sam Rosen, was John Davidson. And I'm at Syracuse with my friend Garrett, Sam Rosen's son. And I'm like, yeah, Sabres and Rangers, whatever. He's like, yeah, let's go. And then, you know, we'll go to the game together. We'll hang out. I'm going to work for my dad during the broadcast. So he was doing it, and he was sitting in the bucket with his dad. And I went down, I was talking to him. And because of the way it was structured, they had their sodas and their drinks sitting there. And he turns and he whacks the soda, and it goes down. It goes all over everybody in like the Reds in the section below, right at the Odd. And security came up and they were going to remove him. Like, he's doing the broadcast.
During the broadcast,
yeah, like,
what,
hey,
get
one
out
of you
here?
Guys, who did this? Like, he's like, dude, we're working here. I'm sorry. I hit the button. It was Garrett who did it, not Sam or JD. But the security was like, they were threatening to remove people from the bucket during the middle of the broadcast, basically, for spilling the drink. He's like, dude, I hit my arm. What do you want me to tell you? It was an accident.
Security removing a broadcaster would be an all-time moment.
It was unbelievable. That happened at the Odd. But that's Sam Rosen right there. Power play goal, right? That's kind of, it's like RJ with his overtime call.
I think his call for the Rangers winning the Stanley Cup, don't like the Rangers. I've never really, I guess, hated them, but no reason that, like, I've any reason to like them. Just that call, the waiting is over, like, just that is like, I get chills thinking about that. And again, I have no emotional tie to the New York Rangers whatsoever. That is just one of the best championship calls like I've ever heard.
And then I think the game 7 winner against the Devils that year,
Mateau?
Yes.
He just screams Mateau 4 times. Mateau, super,
yes,
good.
You love it. You got it. That's right. Mateau. That was great. Yeah, I love Sam. He's great at what he does, and I'm glad that he has a cup. I'm not rooting for the Rangers here, for sure.
I can't believe they won that series. I had the Penguins all over the place, betting-wise, also just like, they analytically were dominant. Like, watching the games, too. Like, I don't even need to look at, like, the numbers, but, like, they were dominant. I saw a Jay Fresh Hockey tweet last night. It was a 63% expected goals for share for Pittsburgh. It surpassed Washington Montreal in 2010 as the highest expected goals for percentage in a series without winning.
Wow.
But part of hockey is goaltending. Part of your team build is goaltending. That person is on the roster. and Igor Shesterkin was otherworldly in some of those games. He got pulled in the one, but like last night, he was incredible. So the Skaters, I take Pittsburgh every day of the week. I think they're a way better team, top to bottom, forward through defense, but they couldn't. I mean, the goalie advantage that the Rangers had was just stark from beginning to end. How much better Shesterkin was than, I mean, no offense to Louis Domingue, but he's a third string goaltender.
Joe, here's another stat for you. This one is not, like, it's not cool. People are going to go, come on, why'd you even tell me that? But I got to tell you.
Oh, what?
This is going to just go into what we're going to
talk about. I know it's not
here. That
the Sabres have the longest playoff series win drought, because they do not, because Toronto lost.
But something similar. The Sabres, in all-time NHL history, the Buffalo Sabres have played the most playoff season. They've been to the playoffs the most times without winning a Stanley Cup.
Why did we have to do this now? 11-12. This was more of a stat for like 11-56 is what that was.
They've
been
to the playoffs 29 different times in their franchise history. They do not have any Stanley Cups.
29 times. How many times have the Leafs been since 70, though? That's what I'd want to look up next. I'm not telling you they don't count before that. But, I mean, come on. Six teams, whatever. You've heard the argument before.
The next closest, by the way, is the Canucks, the team that came in with the Sabres the same year. They spun the wheel for Gilbert
Perreault. They made the playoffs less.
28 times, no cups. Sabres, 29 times, no cups.
I don't like that stat.
I don't either.
I don't like that stat at all.
In order to get a cup, I don't think anybody's expecting it next year, but I think everybody agrees. Most people listening to this would agree they're on the right track to getting back to playoffs and series and trying to win and compete for championships, hopefully, down the line. All right, Joe, so I'm excited about where this team is right now, this organization. But when I look at it, I say to myself, but where do they really fit in? Like, this Eastern Conference is really good. Like, I don't know, as good as they can be, it's kind of like the AFC to me. If you're an AFC team and you think, I don't know, let's say you're the Denver Broncos. Hey, we got Russ Wilson. Then you look around and go, oh, yeah, we still have Tyreek Hill. I mean, they still have Patrick Mahomes and in our division, Justin Herbert. Oh, there's Josh Allen over there. Look at
Burrow.
Yeah, right? So where do you see the Sabres? Let's go through. I want you, Joe, to think about and tell us in 2 years from now where you see each of these teams in the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
And that might even be the teams that aren't good right now.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's at least one of those teams that I'll get
to. Do you want to rank them? How do you want to do it?
We can rank them. Let's kind of
talk
it out.
Give me a tier,
maybe
tiers.
Yeah, we could do tiers. Let's talk it out, and like we can kind of almost put together these tiers like as we go here.
Okay, so who's at the top of the Eastern Conference in 2 years?
I think the teams that are locks to still be at the top are Florida. Florida's young. Like, they've got elite talent, but, like, Ekblad is in the middle of his prime. Barkov is in the middle of his prime. Huberdeau is in his prime. Reinhart is in his prime. Bobrovsky is the one guy you might think in 2 years falls off a little bit, but then they've got Spencer Knight, who was a first-round pick, goaltender, super highly talented, that I think will be around for them. I think Dylan Cousins maybe just scored in the World Championships, by the way, just updating everybody.
All right.
It's awesome celebration.
Maybe, way to go, Dylan Cousins.
Maybe it wasn't a goal. I don't know what happened. We'll get back to that. But anyways, I think Florida is a lock. Carolina, I think, is a lock. They are just so solid all the way through. Kind of the same thing. Like, a lot of their important players are in their primes, like Sebastian Aho, Jacob Slavin, Svechnikov, and et cetera. Tampa is a juggernaut. Tampa, I think, will still be around. And Toronto. Toronto, I would put in the lock category as well. Like, they'll still be playoff teams. They'll still be contenders. Unless Toronto blows it up. But I'm not guessing they're going to. Maybe you get, like Paul said, maybe they trade a Willie Nylander. Like, one big trade. Maybe they fire the coach. Maybe they fire the GM. But I don't think we're seeing this complete teardown. So I think Toronto is sticking.
All right, so the only team that I'm going to question you about here is, I think we've seen some signs from the Lightning that they're not, I mean, yeah, they got through.
Yeah,
they don't quite seem to be on point, no pun intended, that, you know, where they have been the last couple of years. Is there age involved here? They're not a super old team. They're also not a super young team.
Yeah, they're right in between.
I mean, you got Corey Perry in there, Ryan McDonough. These guys are over the age of 30. Zach Bogosian, 31 years old. Victor Hedman's 31. You know, you're talking 2 years from now, right? A couple of these guys aren't going to be there. Victor Hedman's going to be 33 at the time. What's their goaltending look like? Even Stamkos right now is 31. He's going to be 33. In a couple years. Like, I wonder where, I think they fall off a little bit.
I think in 2 years, my best guess is in 2 years, we'll be wondering when when they start to falter. Like, I'm not sure they'll do it yet, I think, but in 2 years, maybe right now what we're about to wonder about with these other teams where we're like, all right, is next year the year they fall off? I think maybe that's where we are with Tampa in 2 years.
And the other one is Toronto, I would say. I don't disagree with what you said. I do wonder, though, if they have one more playoff failure, like, is that something that completely changes? I don't think it'll happen this year, but they may look around and look at the East and say, look, we have a window here. We have to change some things, and then that might change everything. I don't know.
And I'm putting this in the context of, like, I think these four teams are, like, they're playoff locks.
Yes, gotcha.
For 2 years. Maybe they're not Stanley Cup locks, like Stanley Cup
but
contenders.
But are they locks to be probably top four Eastern Conference? Or not necessarily locks, but you would bet. If you could bet right now.
If I were picking the playoffs 2 years from now, I'd probably go Florida 1, Carolina 2, Tampa 3, Toronto 4.
Totally got it. That's what the exercise is. Who's in the next tier?
So this is where I got to debate where I want to put teams like the Sabres below the playoff line right now.
Right.
Who falls off and who goes up. The three teams that I think are the most prime to fall off. Pittsburgh is one. That could happen next year. So Crosby's going to be 35, and he's still playing at a super high level.
He is.
So for now, I think we're good on him. But 2 years from now, are we still good? Have the injuries caught up with him a little bit? He missed game six, the concussion issues. I mean, he's always one bad hit away from missing half a season. But he's missed time each of the last couple of seasons. Malkin's a free agent.
Letang, and he's not the same player, by the way.
And he's not the same player.
Evgeny Malkin is not the same player that he once was.
Chris Letang is a free agent, and he's 34, I think, now. Brian Rust is a free agent. Evan Rodriguez is a free agent. And they've been in flux in goaltender year to year since Marc-Andre Fleury left. So they're getting older, and their older pieces might not even be here. It might be Crosby surrounded by a lot of new. Malkin might not want to stay. Maybe he, before his career's over, wants to say, yeah, actually, you know, let me see what it's like to play without Sid. And they Byron Bader came out, hockey prospecting. He came out with his prospect rankings, which he does every year, on Friday. He had the Penguins as the 31st ranked prospect pool.
Wow.
So they don't have
much in the pipeline.
That's going to be similar with these other teams, too. If Malkin leaves, Letang leaves, Rust leaves, Rodriguez leaves, or if they lose two of the four, I don't think they have important pieces ready to just jump up and assume those spots. So Pittsburgh, to me, could easily fall off in 2 years. The Capitals could fall off in 2 years. They're not getting the goaltending they wanted from Ilya Samsonov. Their guys are older than Pittsburgh's. Ovechkin's going to be 37. Right. Going into next year, this is how old all these guys will be. Ovechkin, 37. Oshie, 36. Backstrom, 35. Carlson, 33. Orlov, 31. Kuznetsov, 30. And that prospect pool ranking I looked at, they're 27th.
Okay.
So all those guys have kind of taken a step back, actually, interestingly, except for Ovechkin, who just had like his best season in 10 years.
He just keeps scoring, man.
So Ovi's still doing great, but the rest of them, and they weren't a legit contender this year. Like Florida, I'm surprised they went as far as they did with Florida. Florida outplayed them in five of those six games, but they got away with some good scoring, bad goaltending by Florida in a couple. So I think the Capitals could fall off, and then I think, I keep saying it about the Bruins, but I have to. The Bruins have the 30th ranked prospect pool. Bergeron will be 37. Marchand will be 35. I'm more confident, though, that Washington and Pittsburgh would fall off because Boston's got more. They've got more key players in their lineup right now that are in their primes. Like the Capitals have none of their key players in their primes. Pittsburgh, kind of the same thing. Boston's at least got Charlie McAvoy. They've got David Pastrnak. They've got Jake DeBrusk if they want to keep him around.
Bergeron's a free agent, right?
Bergeron, oh right, he hasn't even committed to being back next year.
Right.
Jeremy Swayman, the goaltender I like, who just came in his rookie year.
Right.
So they've got some pieces that are young.
I think,
but
also,
it's more about Bergeron and Marchand.
Their organization just seems to
move forward,
right?
Yeah, I would trust them. But
I think so.
They're a candidate. So that's three teams I could see dropping off, and the three most likely teams I think to climb up are the Sabres and the Red Wings. And then I think I'd go Ottawa, number three for that list. But I think it's the Sabres and the Red Wings. And I might, at the moment, put Detroit a hair above Buffalo. Just a hair. They have the number one ranked prospect pool. They've got Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond, who were very hopeful and optimistic about a lot of the young pieces the Sabres have right now and the seasons they had, like Tage Thompson and Owen Power and Dahlin and Peyton Krebs. I think Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond might outrank all of them except maybe Owen Power. Like, if I were building a franchise, I might take Power first between the two teams, but I think I might take Sider and Raymond second and third. Like, they're going to be great. I think was only one a Calder nominee. Maybe both ended up being Calder finalists. And the Red Wings also have Steve Yzerman.
Yes, I know, right?
He built Tampa.
Yeah.
He built Tampa, and he's already built them into the number one prospect pool. Two superstar young players that are on the way. Larkin's still young. So
Steve Yzerman is on a very distinguished list that I would say great, great players who became great executives or coaches.
Yeah.
Like, there are not many throughout all of sports.
No, but
he's one of them.
He's like a wizard.
Yes.
He might be a better executive than he was a player.
And he was phenomenal as a player. That's right.
So I might go Detroit a hair above the Sabres, but the Sabres to me would be next. Teams that would replace Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston. Sabres right after that. Super deep, prospect pool, all the goalie prospects, Thompson turning into what he's turned into. And then Ottawa.
Real quick, I just want to say before you go on to that, I just looked a stat up. Remember earlier I was talking about Sidney Crosby, 13 points away from cracking the top four, right?
Yes.
All-time playoffs. Do you know how far down the list Alex Ovechkin is? He's actually 37th overall in all-time playoff scoring. Now, I know that they had a lot of playoff failures. I get it. But that just goes to show you how great those teams were and how tough it is. He has 141 playoff points all-time. He is still 60 points away from cracking the top four.
Wow.
That's amazing.
60. He's not getting there,
that's for sure.
So Ottawa after that, but I think Ottawa, I mean, there would be a big gap between Buffalo and Ottawa.
Okay.
Maybe that's me not knowing their prospect pool as well as the Sabres, because obviously
you think they're on the rise, but maybe not quite ready.
I think they're on the rise, but I'm not sure they're going to be good.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident the Red Wings and the Sabres are going to get good.
Okay. So if you look at it, I think you're saying Florida, Carolina, Tampa, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston, Buffalo, Detroit, all kind of in that, what would it be, 7, 8, 9 team mix.
Yeah, and remember the playoff format.
That's
so
right.
I can't just go 1 through 8.
No, that's right. But that's a 9 team mix, essentially.
So let me try to predict this then. Just kind of moving along, just kind of, you know, doing it on the fly here. I think in 2 years, I think my Metropolitan Division leaders, 1, 2, 3, would be Carolina. See, some of these teams that are going to fall out, they're all in the Metro.
Right.
I haven't mentioned the Rangers here also, by the way.
You have
I probably
not.
Shouldn't mention the Rangers.
Yes. I mean, they have a nice young team, I think, right?
They're fine. I don't love them, but Shesterkin is going to be maybe the best goalie in the world for a long time, so maybe I should put them in. The Islanders aren't going to get good again anytime soon, I don't think. Who else is getting good in the Metro? I don't love it.
So that's my next stop here, and my next question is, who's horrible? Like, who's at the bottom of the Eastern Conference in 2 years? Philadelphia.
I think the Islanders are going to be at the bottom.
Philadelphia,
I think, is going to be at the bottom.
When you were gone, I had on, I can't think of his name now, Howard Eskin. Howard Eskin, the sideline reporter for the Eagles.
Yep.
He's a big Philly guy. You know what he said to me? I asked him about the Flyers.
Yeah.
He said they're 4 years away from being 4 years away from being 4 years away. That's what he said.
That is always the Flyers.
Yes.
Devils? Yeah, I'm confident about the Islanders being bad. The Devils, I don't love the Devils. Devils would be about down there. They're going to keep floating around 60, 70 points.
I
don't like Columbus.
Great future.
I'll go Carolina 1 by a wide margin. The Rangers 2. And can I say either Pittsburgh or Washington? One of the two, but not both. I'll go one of the two, but not both.
This is Metro in 2 years.
Yeah. The Atlantic, Florida, I might go the same as this year. Florida, Toronto, Tampa, and then 4 and 5 for the wild card. I might go Detroit and Buffalo.
Where does Montreal fit into the entire East? Are they
Below.
Just horrible?
Below.
Are they just like at the bottom?
They have a nice prospect pool, but...
Okay.
And they're going to have the first overall pick this year, which it's a good year. It's not a great year to have it, but it's a good year to have the first
overall
pick.
Yeah, that's right. New Jersey has the second pick, right?
Yeah. So they're going to get their franchise centerman, they hope, and Shane Wright. So I'm, bubble team. In 2 years, they're back competing for a playoff spot, but I wouldn't even pencil them in. I think the Sabres and Red Wings will outrank them by then. And then Boston, man. I hate counting against them.
Right.
I think...
They just always seem to be there.
I hope there's a playoff format change, because what the Leafs have been complaining about for a long time, their division, if the Sabres get good, we might be complaining about it, because we could... Right now, if they were in the Metro, I might hazard to say, hey, they could be the second best team in the Metro, and I'm even nervous about putting them fifth 2 years from now in the Atlantic, because that would mean I'm putting them above the Boston Bruins. I think they're a I would say the Sabres and Red Wings, though, are playoff teams in 2 years. I would guess at that.
Detroit's interesting. You're right. They're kind of in the same spot as the Sabres in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Right? You trust them. But I think there's still – I think Kevin Adams has won a lot of people over, but you do have a stable, really well-thought-of GM who's done a good job, already building one team into a cup champion. Now he's working on another.
And the coach has had, like, the best first season that you could imagine without like, making the playoffs.
Yeah, they – Sabres have a really – the point of this is – I think we all like really like what the Sabres have coming up. The organization's in a good spot. But, man, you look around, it's kind of like the AFC with the quarterbacks. Boy, where do they fit in? It's going to be tough in a couple of years. Maybe other teams decide to change course. Maybe for some reason Tampa decides to, you know, rebuild. Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen. But the way it stands right now, it's going to be tough to crack that.
I think the Sabres have they have more volume to me than Detroit does. Again, this is me not knowing Detroit's prospect pool, of course, as well as I would know the Sabres. But Raymond and Seider, like they might be, if I were doing a draft between the two teams, they might be second and third behind Power if I were starting a franchise. But what will be important to stay ahead of them and to leapfrog teams that are aging out, like Boston, maybe Pittsburgh or Washington, getting two of these three first-round picks to hit, two of these three that they're going to have, the Vegas pick, the Florida pick, and their own at number nine, get two of those three guys to be contributors 2-3 years from now. And one of Quinn and Paterka to just be a flat-out stud. There might be a good chance that both of them end up being that. But give me one of them as like a top-line winger that puts up 70 to 80 points a year. And all of a sudden, I've got that in addition to the blue line I've built up. And if that works out, goaltender might not be as... It might not be as valuable, as important to hit on. If you get all of those other things, you could be good without great goaltending. Pittsburgh just won 7 games with the Rangers with their third stringer. Washington just won 6 games with Florida with a prospect in Samsonov that I think has been a little bit disappointing. So if you get all those scorers, you get that blue line to turn out, and you have 3 number 2 centers, like I think they're trending towards having right now with Thompson, Krebs, and Cousins, you might not have a franchise-level goaltender and still be a playoff team because you figured out all the other things.
My philosophy in that has always been, you don't need great goaltending to win a cup, but if you have horrible goaltending, you have no chance. Right? If you have horrible goaltending, you're not even going to compete. But you don't have to have great goaltending to win. I mean, you can still do it with all those other parts, like you said. All right, that's a fun exercise. That's good. So rookie minicamp was this past weekend. I was out there on Friday. I'm going to share my thoughts when we come back on that, including a player that I know Joe's going to be interested in when it comes to dynasty, fantasy drafts, and things like that. Very interesting. Some stuff I saw on the field at Bill's rookie minicamp. We'll talk about all that when we come back at WGR.
That's just kind of my thing, you know. I just kind of like getting in shape. And then, you know, once you go in, it's going to end zone in practice. I mean, it translates to the game. So all of it come together once you put it together, you know.
How did Zach Jones know that's a good...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I want to talk about right there. James Cook. Jack, Zach, you're too good at your job, buddy. All right, so, Joe, I went out to work rookie minicamp. James Cook, Bills running back out of Georgia. Holy cow. Cutting ability. Explosion. Yeah. I totally understand, folks. I've been doing this long enough to understand they are in shorts and they're not wearing pads and no one is hitting them. I get it. But we've talked about this before. I think I'm at least seasoned enough and good enough now to know and say that cat is just different when you're out on a field with somebody. Joe, that cat is different.
The speed is what I've wanted to see from that backfield for a long time now, and they finally got to it. I'm super excited to see him on this offense.
Yeah.
Just to see how they use a player like that. Because they've flirted with wanting to use Singletary in that same way, but he's just not the same type of player.
That's right.
So, like, what does it look like when they have a running back like that? Like, has it been that Allen doesn't like throwing to the running backs, or has it been they don't really have a running back that he necessarily loves throwing to? Like, now will there be more of that?
And did Dable not have one he trusted enough to design things to go to as much as often? We saw Devin Singletary catch some passes, but maybe with a guy like this, Ken Dorsey goes, oh, you better bet I'm using him.
Yeah, right. Like, there'd be sections of your playbook just designed to getting James Cook in space.
That's right. He looked good. He was, so I have some video I posted, and if you can go and you can watch it, folks, it's on Sal Sports at Twitter, and it's from last Friday. Out there, they were doing a drill where they had a defender, and behind him was an offensive player. The defender would run to a spot, turn around, the offensive player had to kind of make a move, and you just see it right there. One of the somebody who does fantasy football quote tweeted my tweet and said something like, this video alone should move him up in dynasty drafts or move him up around in drafts or something, because you see what he brings to the table. We don't know, but I do think he's an interesting player for that aspect as well.
I'm struggling a lot with where to slot him in rookie fantasy drafts, because I think that part of the reason there hasn't been in the fantasy community this massive hype train for James Cook to go higher in fantasy rookie drafts is because Clyde Edwards-Helaire 2 years ago got drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
And people, you were on this too. Like, the Chiefs don't throw the ball to the running back all that much.
That's right.
And even with Edwards-Helaire, they really didn't do that. And they kind of...
And I said, why would they even do that? You have Tyreek Hill, just throw it to him.
It was a player that, before the draft, no one had ranked number one overall. Nobody. It was Jonathan Taylor. It was either, or if it wasn't Jonathan Taylor, it was DeAndre Swift.
Right.
Then we saw the landing spot, and everyone reacted to the landing spot. And they went with Edwards-Helaire, and every single person that drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Jonathan Taylor that year in rookie drafts is kicking themselves that they did that. And I think now maybe James Cook is the victim of learning your lesson from that. Is, top offense, good draft capital, pass-catching running back in college that might be a little bit more of an expanded workload when he gets to the NFL, but he's only seen his value go up a little bit. I'm really struggling with it, though, because I think there is a potential for Cook to be the lead back after this year. And that, to me, is different than Edwards-Helaire. Because where you're getting James Cook now is you're getting all the receptions, the targets, the usage that he'll have in his rookie season, which I think will be okay. It won't be crazy. He's not going to be Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
But I'm very interested in what year two could look like if year one goes really well. I think the ceiling is super high, which is why I would be willing to draft him a lot higher than other people are willing to right now, which is like the fourth or fifth pick of rookie drafts right now. Like, I would consider him right around the same range as all those first round receivers are going.
Interesting. He is a guy, obviously, that's going to factor into the Bills' offense in some way. Also, I focused on Khalil Shakir. I like your thought that you've been kind of floating out there, which is Jameson Crowder safe? Like, I don't know. I mean, if Khalil Shakir, I love Jameson Crowder. I think he's a really good pro. I think he's a great addition. And right now I'd be like, yeah, he's probably 90% on the Bills roster. But what if Khalil Shakir really shows up in training camp and looks really good? And I don't really want to make Isaiah McKenzie part of this discussion. I think he would have a leg up considering he's been in the organization. He knows the way of things.
He's more versatile too.
Right. Yeah. So I don't want to go there. But if Khalil Shakir can do things right away, I do wonder if that, like, is there, do you remember that 1 year, who was it, someone they released, or who was this receiver they had that they released a little bit? Jeremy Curley.
Jeremy Curley, he started?
Yes.
Oh, what game did he start?
The opening game.
Against the Jets.
Yeah, I think so. And it was released the next week, maybe?
I think he started a week one game for the Bills and then was released the next week.
I think about that a little bit. Now, there could have been more to it, whatever I know. But, I mean, I don't know if there was
I
or not.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, but I do wonder. So, I guess the point I'm making is here, Khalil Shakir. So, this was my first chance to ever really talk to Khalil Shakir. We all did with the media. Joe, I mean, this guy's just exudes Bills DNA, if you will. Like, the Bills, what they look for in a player. Like, he has every single box checked off the field. And I'm not saying Jamison Crowder doesn't. I think he's been a true pro. But if he can make any sort of impact in training camp and preseason, he's going to play.
I think the thing I'd wonder about with him is, even if he balls out in training camp and the preseason, what does his workload look like? What does his role look like? Because we just went through this the last 2 years. Gabriel Davis, like, it's kind of a question of, when do you fully trust the mid-round guy? When do you fully believe, okay, maybe he is actually really good? Like, this happened in Minnesota with Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, it took him like 2 years before Minnesota finally trusted him to be the full-time outside receiver that got over 100 targets. And that probably happens around the league with every player you would draft in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round, is it takes a little bit of time before you fully trust them. When does that happen with Shakir? Because with Gabriel Davis, he played great every game he played almost throughout his first 2 years. It took him like a season and a half. And injuries to Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley and guys missing games due to COVID before they fully trusted him, it seemed, to be the number two wideout on the outside to Stephon Diggs. And even if Shakir comes in really strong, I'd be impressed. I'd be impressed if they said, he's just that good. We are going to trust him. We've got McKenzie. It's not like he'd be on his own. Like, we've got McKenzie if we need a guy.
And you have James Cook who can flex out. And you have O.J. Howard. We've talked about how they want to use these guys.
Right. So you might feel you have enough of a stable anyway to throw him into that role and test him out with it. But that's what I wonder is, would they go as far as to let Jamison Crowder go because of how good a fifth-round pick looks before even getting into like an actual game?
So the other player that I watched, obviously, well, I wanted to watch Matt Araiza, I guess how you say his name. We got to get a clarification. It's spelled like Araiza, but I believe it's Araiza.
I just go with Punt God.
Yeah, there you go. And we wanted to watch him. The media did, but he went inside, so he didn't work. We didn't see, nobody saw him punt or kick or hold or anything like
that. They're keeping that close to the
vest. Yeah, they're keeping it, that's right, exactly. but I did get a chance to watch Kyer Elam. Took some video of him as well. You can find it on Twitter. And I was just kind of, I want to see how he moved. A lot of times you just, I remember going to, this always stood out to me. I remember the first day I ever saw Ron Darby on the field. I'm like, oh, that guy. Like,
yeah.
He just moves differently, right? And then I remember the first day I saw Tre'Davious White, and like, his hands were just so soft, and you could fit when the ball hit this. It was different. It just sounded different when he was doing a little ball drill, right? So with Kyer Elam, here's what I'll tell you about him. If Kyer Elam, Joe, and Tre'Davious White were standing on a football field together, maybe 30, 40 yards away from you, and neither had a number on, I think you'd think they were the same person. That's what he looks like. He's slender. He's skinny. He's long. He looks like he has the build of Tre'Davious White. I'm not telling you they drafted him because of that, but I do think that that's the kind of corner they're looking for, that long guy who can make some plays, you know, doing different things, press coverage, using his arms, using his length. He also has very quick feet for a longer person. A lot of times the guys who are a little more long, they kind of, they're a little more clumsy as well. He is not clumsy in any respect whatsoever.
That's interesting, too, because they're 3 inches different. Tre'Davious White, I've got listed at 5'11", and Kyer Elam at 6'2".
Right. Well, Tre'Davious, to me, when you watch him on the field, he looks longer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He looks long. And like I said, if you're 30, 40 yards away, but they're not next to you, I think you think they're very similar, the two.
That might be the way they want this to go later, too, because whenever they're faced with a top-level receiver that's big, like the big-size guy, and sometimes even tight ends, Trey White, they've put on Travis Kelce in the past. They did it with Gronkowski even early in his career. And they might think part of the intrigue of having Kyer Elam kind of maybe moving the same way as White and having similar qualities while also having an extra 3 inches might be...
Right. It's a great point.
Maybe Kyer Elam develops into the guy that if we need a corner to go out and cover one of these tight ends in space or cover... Was it AJ Green that Trey White had trouble with in his rookie year?
Yes.
If there's some freak 6'5 receiver that moves like that, not AJ Green anymore, but like the next AJ Green,
sure,
then maybe Elam becomes the guy that's, all right, Trey's got his guy over there. You match up better size-wise. That's a card we didn't have to play before.
So they are back at it to this week. I don't exactly know if today, but this week there will be more OTAs for the Bills, minicamp. We'll be covering it all when we get a chance to be out there. There is no media scheduled as of now, but we will obviously be doing that again as we go forward. We'll be talking about it. And coverage of Bills OTAs on WGR and minicamp is brought to you by M&M U Pullet, Western New York's premier destination for used cars and truck parts. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap things up with a question. Should we call it a comeback? Don't call it a comeback, as LL Cool J said. Maybe we should call it a comeback. We'll talk about it when we come back on WGR. Joe, there were two really interesting names on the Bills rookie minicamp roster, both on a tryout basis. One, Cameron Lewis. Mm-hmm. Not the same Cameron Lewis already on the team. They literally have another guy named Cameron Lewis trying out. Did you see the other one?
I did.
Vontae Davis.
Vontae Davis. Without the A in the first name, right?
Without the A.
V-O-N-T-E, Davis?
Instead of V-O-N-T-A-E. Vontae Davis. But here's the crazy part. He's wearing 22. Same number as Vontae Davis wore.
Is that on purpose, we think? Or is that a complete coincidence?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It almost feels too good to not be on purpose.
Right. Vontae Davis and Cameron Lewis, both at Bills minicamp on tryout basis. Not the same Vontae Davis that quit at halftime. Not the same Cameron Lewis who currently actually plays for the Buffalo Bills and goes by Cam Lewis generally.
This reminds me. There was an interview Vernon Davis did recently where he talked about Vontae retiring at halftime.
Brother, right?
His brother.
Yeah, yeah.
And I meant to go back and watch it, and I never have. I think it was recent. But, I mean, we're well past that.
All right, so Drew Brees. Drew Brees.
Yeah.
You think he's coming back?
No, I'm not. I think he's just talking. I think he might even just be bitter about getting kicked out the door at NBC, if that's what happened, which it kind of reads like maybe that is what happened.
Apparently, the sourcing is from the New York Post. Andrew Marchant has reported that Drew Brees is done after 1 year as an NBC analyst. He apparently wanted to do games, not be in the studio, but he's not good enough to do games because he was horrible at it. I actually liked him in the studio.
I usually don't watch the studio shows a lot, so I don't actually know how good he was at that. I did not like him in the booth.
He was
nothing interesting. Just so dry. I'm not a fan of him in the booth.
But here's the other reason. So he basically tweeted, "There's been a lot of speculation about my future. I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour or the senior tour. Coach my kids or all of the above." He also said, by the way, "Signing Jarvis Landry and Tyrann Mathieu makes me want to come back and play again." I would not rule it out. I just wouldn't rule it out.
I would bet heavily against it. I guess I wouldn't rule it out either.
Right.
I guess I wouldn't rule it out. But hey, also, Fox, this is why you don't go give Brady $300 million before knowing how good he is in the booth, because Drew Brees did it for a year and NBC's like, no, we're going to do something else here.
Instigators up next. Thanks for listening to us today on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.